Our reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 20, verses 27 to 31. And St. Paul says here to the Ephesian pastors or elders, "I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch, and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. How wonderful the precious gospel is to us. To think of it that sinful people like us who are going to die, because of the work of God's Son coming into this world and dying on the cross to shed his holy blood, has purchased people like us with all of our weaknesses and frailties, has taken people like us, purchased us with his blood, redeeming us back to the Almighty and Holy God in heaven, and through the waters of baptism and through his word, giving you the gift of faith in your heart, causing you to repent of your sins, has now attached you to this fantastic Savior. And because of that, you have the certainty of going to heaven, to be absolutely positive that you're going to heaven. What an amazing, wonderful teaching this is. And that our Lord Jesus, even right now, who has died for you, risen for you, and ascended, and now sits in heaven, has made a room ready for you with your name on the door. Just think what we have in this gospel. We can say with St. John, "How great is the love that the Father has lavished on us, that we, people like us, we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. During these weeks, as we kind of wrap down the church year, at the end of the church year, we've been focusing a lot on how the devil tries to take this faith away from us, whether it's through temptation or apathy or whatever. He has many different weapons that he may use in that struggle. He knows that you possessing the gospel by faith is the thing that will keep you out of his clutches for eternity. And so he needs now to spend his time not on unbelievers, he's already got them, but he needs to put his focus, energy, and time on the members of Christ's church, to pull them away. And so if you were the devil and you wanted to steal this faith away from people, where would you go to do that? And how would you try to do that? Where would be the best place to do that? Well, the best place to infiltrate among Christians would be inside of their churches. And the best place to steal the gospel would be through false teachers who would come and start sprinkling in error along with God's truth. Notice St. Paul warns these Ephesian pastors about this danger that may be coming and will be coming among them in the future. And he says that from among themselves men will rise up and speak perverse things. Possibly one of the very ones right there he was talking to are going to start to embrace a false teaching and teaching that in their churches. How deceptive the devil is to go inside of Christianity and to rob people of the gospel. A few years ago, I was over in Ukraine, and a friend of mine over there who had grown up in one of the Orthodox churches with all of their traditions and rituals, he was with me one day as we went into one of these churches just to see the architecture, and a woman came in to worship, and she grabbed one of the icon pictures and started kissing it, and she made the sign of the cross and bowed down in front of the altar many times and so on. And he said to me, "You know, it's really sad. I used to belong to this church too, and yet I never really knew about what Christ and what he'd done for me." To think that you can have all the trappings and the traditions around you and all the things that make the church look like it has the gospel and still steal it away and rob it from people as far as giving them any comfort. And this can happen in church bodies here in America too, very subtly and in ways that we may not see right away. I was recently in a Lutheran church for a worship service, and I paid very close attention, and I never heard the name of Christ until the final minute of the service at the end of a prayer. And I never heard the gospel ever proclaimed during the entire service. Everything looked right in the church, and the pastor had a cross on and everything else, but the gospel had been removed. That very same church body of that congregation has a church that has this on their website. I'd like to read you this new prayer that they are encouraging their members to pray. This is a Lutheran church. Our Mother who is within us, we celebrate your many names. Your wisdom come, your will be done, unfolding from the depths within us. Each day you give us all that we need. You remind us of our limits and we let go. You support us in our power and we act with courage, for you are the dwelling place within us, the empowerment around us and the celebration among us now and forever. Amen. This is their new Lord's Prayer. How in the world can a Christian church get to that? How can a Lutheran church get to that level of heresy? Well, it didn't start like this. It started small. It started very subtly. It started with just challenging some of the basic teachings of Scripture and infiltrating the church that way. As Jesus says, a little yeast leavens the whole loaf, the whole lump of bread. And this is the great danger that the devil poses even in our day and age. Now, the devil may not be able to get you by false doctrine away from your faith, but if he can get something into your church, into your congregation, into your system of beliefs that maybe will start to weaken that faith, he may be able to get your children or your grandchildren, and that's good enough for him. There's a serious nature to dealing with heresy because it always will ultimately work its way back to attack the heart of the gospel, to rob us of our precious salvation. Notice how serious Paul is in his warning. For 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day with tears. Every book that he writes, and even all of the gospels in the New Testament, always include a warning about not losing this doctrine and this truth. Every generation must wrestle with this. Look at the book of Galatians. You can't even get out of the apostolic era. It's one of the earliest books, and already the gospel is being perverted. It's already being challenged in those churches. Can you imagine for just a moment walking up to Christ in heaven and having him come up to you and say, you know that church that you belong to, the one that said it was okay to believe that you came from monkeys instead of by creation? You know that church that you belong to that taught that the Bible isn't really all true? You know that church that you belong to where we had put things in Scripture that were about moral issues, but your church said, ah, that's no big deal anymore? You know that church? That was really great. That was good of you to stay in that church. Because, can you imagine Christ saying, because the Holy Spirit and I, when we had this Bible put together, we didn't know what we were thinking. Can you imagine Christ saying that? And yet there are many who profess to be Christian today who openly, willingly, without any care, are happy to align themselves with churches that do such things. All of the doctrines in Scripture fit together to serve the gospel. Take one out, and it weakens the whole chain. St. Paul said to the Romans, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine you learned and avoid them. He doesn't say contrary to the gospel you learned. Yes, that's the most important doctrine. But every doctrine, anything that is contrary to any doctrine, will ultimately harm the gospel. And so what great need we have for vigilance in our generation. Paul's words to the Ephesian elders are no less significant than they are for us today, than they were then. And may we never be so arrogant to think that somehow because we belong to a certain church with a certain name that belongs to a certain church body that it couldn't happen to us. There have been many car wrecks in that thinking. Truth itself is what saves us. The precious knowledge of Christ our Lord who shed his blood for you so that you could come to heaven is what will save you on the day of judgment. And may the Lord constantly keep us faithful to his word and the confession of his truth. May we always pray, Lord, keep us steadfast in thy word. Amen.